Hey everybody, I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record to and from work on my drive into high school, where I work as a high school instructional coach. I have a unique benefit of being able to work with people in all different departments, English, math, science, social studies, world languages, physical education, music, art, business. And so when I have a chance to learn from all these cool people, I think it's like my job to share it. So I put all this stuff into a big old brain dump, and in about 10 to 11 minutes each week, we put all this stuff out on the iTunes, so you can feel free to join in conversation with us as we're learning more about these topics. Even though this might feel like a monologue for 10 minutes, the goal is to give you an action item that you can put in play in your classroom starting like today. And if you have information about how this topic works or how you're using this topic, feel free to shoot that message back to me and make it a dialogue. We'll talk about it on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Meehan, E-D-U. Meehan like my last name, and E-D-U like teaching, because I like teaching. And I'd like to talk to you about how you make use of this in your classroom. Or maybe you have other ideas that work similarly on the same topic. So, let's talk about it. This week, we are talking all about warm-ups, that very first impression you make when you get into a classroom space and or that a student is expected to deliver when they walk into the lion's den. If you've ever read the book Life of Pi by Jan Martel, it's a great, great book. It says that it has a story that will make you believe in God. And the movie is also great because of just the visuals. It's just such a highly imaginative story, and it has the beautiful escapist kind of fantasy elements that sort of work into it. But it tells the story of a boy named Pi, who finds himself on a boat in a shipwreck. He finds himself on a boat stranded with a tiger as he's sort of making his way across the ocean. It's a very scary way to have a story. I promise it's not scary. It's really kind of beautiful. But he learns from his father, who was a zookeeper at the Pondicherry Zoo, that there is a pattern by which all lion tamers in circuses or in zoos tend to do their lion taming act. And it's simple. The lion tamer is in the circle or in the ring before the lions arrive. It's a small trick, but it's important, because when the lions walk into the circle, already they know who the alpha is, and they're invading that alpha space. And that is able to keep the lions sort of in a position of awareness, or I guess caution, rather than feeling that position of dominance, where they feel the need to sort of overdo it, or of course, you know, kill the guy who's trying to keep them in line. And while that seems like an incredibly extreme metaphor to start with here while talking about warm-up routines, I find myself frequently making mention of it when working with teachers as they're struggling with some of their warm-up type procedures. Simply put, in a sentence, warm-ups are about being the alpha. Who owns that space? As your student walks into the classroom space, of course you want them to know that they're safe and supported and that you're there as a person of empathy and a person of compassion to help them with whatever they are going to go through in your classroom. At the same time, you have to let them know that it is your classroom. And sometimes a little bit of that compliance to just sort of snap people in order can get you a lot of goodwill and good graces to help grease the wheels as your lesson needs to move through. So the first piece of a warm-up advice I always offer to teachers is, if you are not a traveling teacher, make an explicit point of greeting your students at the door every single day. I know that's hard. I know that's really, really challenging if you have a whole bunch of stuff that's piling up, whether it's grades or photocopies or pass-back papers or setups for stations or PowerPoints or presentations you're about to deliver. But it is critically important that you establish that you are the alpha. And as the warm-up goes, it actually starts the second that student walks in the door. Because if they take so much as one step into your classroom and they're having a conversation from the hallway, if you let that conversation bleed into your classroom, that conversation now is what is their feeling when they're walking into the classroom. And then they finish when they're ready to finish. Versus when you greet them at the door, "Hey, Bobby, great to see you." Now, that conversation is cut cold, and they have no choice but to greet you back on your own terms, because to do anything less would be just, you know, unpolite or rude. And they walk into the classroom with a different tenor. Now, they may still have the last bit of that conversation with a friend as they're walking through. Oh, yeah, so anyways, about that in Redskins game or something like that. But the ultimate goal is to set that tone as soon as they walk into that circle, that this is your space, and you're absolutely happy to have them there, but it is still the space that you are in control of. For that reason, greeting your students at the door is imperative. Eye contact, handshakes, fist bumps, high fives. You've probably seen the videos on YouTube of the teachers who have invented secret handshakes or individual like high five patterns or dances with each student as they come into the classroom. If you wanted to do it, go for it. I'm not saying you have to, but something that lets your students know from the moment they walk in that they are thought of and that you are happy to have them in your space and you can't wait to have them in your space, lets them know that that space is your space, which will help keep things moving smoothly for you. So that helps set the page really for you before you even get started. I think the second piece of a great warm-up, and this is a small one too, is that it's always posted in the same spot every day. Whenever possible, this comes straight out of Doug Liemov's book, Teach Like a Champion, but the idea of clarity, consistency, and routines being a big driver for our kids. If the warm-up is posted sometimes as a written warm-up, sometimes as a handed-out warm-up, sometimes as a projected warm-up, sometimes as a... There's a lot of places where that could break down because children thrive on clarity and consistency, especially in things like rules and procedures. And if they don't have to think about it or expend any energy on it, they're likely to receive it that much more efficiently. So if every day you put it on the projection screen, for example, hey guys, warm up on the projection, you know, you greet them at the door, great to see you, Billy, nice to see you, Janie, nice haircut, Bobby, hey, how about those Redskins, Johnny, whatever you say doesn't really matter, you're just letting them know you're there, welcome back. And as they come in, yeah, guys, so as you see the warm-ups on the board, go ahead and get started with that, because you as a teacher are still freed up to be in the hallway, shaking hands, kissing babies, having a good time, letting people know that they're so happy and so welcome in your classroom. But the efficiency, the work, is already starting in the background. So I strongly encourage teachers, if they're having problems with classroom management, for example, to start with that warm-up on the board. It's a small trick, it's a small twist, but you've eliminated that transition of greet every child in the hallway, then walk in awkwardly, and then say, yeah, hold on, guys, let me turn on the projector, and then wait for the 30 seconds for that to fire up while you then kind of kill time or vamp and lose some transition activity. And I think that's so important because that lost time, Dave Burgess talks about it in his book, Teach Like a Pirate. He's like, I'm not so worried about keeping a kid's attention. He says, I'm worried about keeping an audience's, the momentum, because it's so hard to recapture momentum. If your energy is high as they're coming in, you want to capitalize that and spring on that to the next thing. Hey guys, it's great to see you. Come on in. Warm-up's on the board. Boom. Done. Versus, hey guys, great to see you. Come on in. Come on in. I'll be with you in a second. Come on in. Come on in. Then they sit down, they settle in, and you have to kind of start that wheel up again from zero. Objects in motion stay in motion. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest. So it's a great way to grease the wheels for your transitions there as well. Likewise, I love it for warm-ups that, and somebody might push back on this, but I'm a big fan of using embedded clocks or timers on the big board right next to wherever the warm-up prompt is for the day. There's a bunch of reasons for this, which I'll get into, but the bottom line is you want your students to know that there is a work product that is due in a certain amount of time, and that work product should be clearly spelled out in that warm-up, and the amount of time should be spelled out clearly in that warm-up. If you said this is due in 5 minutes, to a kid who rolled in 2 minutes late, well, now your warm-up takes 7 minutes. To a kid who rolls in 4 minutes late, now this warm-up takes 9 minutes. And again, the momentum, you as a teacher would have to recapture it again and again and again every time if you are resetting that clock every time the last student arrives in. Now you could be that teacher who puts that hard and fast time and says, warm-up is due at 8:57 a.m. or something like that. But what I find is that, generally speaking, it works better with a timer clock because they get a clear sense of the passage of time and that the dilly-dallying and the dawdling gets to be eliminated. Doesn't matter what the warm-up is. If you want to keep it short, you want to keep it punchy, you want to keep it time-bound, set a 5-minute timer up there or 7-minute timer up there with the warm-up prompt. Warm-up prompt could be something as simple as, hey, what was the most shocking thing that you read in the chapter last night? Or, hey, can you list 5 bullet points or find as many examples of X as you can from yesterday's reading or the stuff we discussed yesterday? Or list three questions you have about the unit we've just started, whatever it is. The idea is that you want them writing the entire time. A deliverable work product that is due at the end of that time is super duper important because it will hold those students accountable to know, look, I only have 47 seconds left, so I have to make sure to fill it. And then again, at the end of that timer, you have the ability to sort of hit the pause button and be like, okay guys, I'm so excited, can't wait to hear what you have to say. Let's get some feedback from the crowd. Because immediately you know that everybody has been working for the duration of that full 5 minutes. Likewise, if students do dilly-dally or dawdle their way into class, the warm-up is still there, as is the amount of time left, and there really is nowhere to hide, so everybody is held accountable to a deliverable product at the end of that time period. And individually, if there is a student who habitually arrives late, you can make a note of that sort of thing and address those issues individually, because that 5 minutes means 5 minutes, and we gotta go, because we have so much to do, we're so very excited, and we move from it. So that's the thought. Thanks for listening this week on warm-ups. I'd love to hear from you about how you use them in your classroom. Tweet at me. I'm @mehan.edu. We'll be back next time with more.